followed up with two letters stating explicitly that Miramax could not release the film. Weinstein was in a difficult position. Contractually, he felt he had the right to make the film. The budget of $6 million was well below the level at which he had to seek Disney's permission. Though Disney maintained it had the right to cancel Miramax projects that were politically partisan, Weinstein conceded only that Disney had the right to approve films designated NC-17 because of sexual and violent content. Still, Disney owned Miramax, and the Weinsteins were in contract negotiations. Rather than defy Eisner outright, Weinstein offered a compromise. "Let us make it," he said. "If you don't like it, I'll buy it back." Disney responded by having Peter Murphy send Weinstein a letter. "We are pleased that Miramax has on its own concluded that it will reduce its involvement in this film. As you described to me, your plan is to provide only interim bridge financing for the project. Michael Moore and Wild Bunch will sell off all distribution rights at Cannes or through other means in order to raise permanent takeout financing. Miramax would then have no interest in the film. In the meantime, you have told us that Miramax will publicly state that it does not control distribution of the film." Though divested of his leadership positions on the board, Gold kept up with the letter-writing campaign that he'd begun with his first missive to Ray Watson, and then pursued in the month leading up to the September board meeting. He zeroed in particularly on the continuing failure to turn around the ABC primetime schedule. After the promising start in the fall, culminating in its surprisingly strong November sweeps finish, ABC's worst fears had been realized when American Idol proved a ratings juggernaut for Fox, demolishing ABC's Tuesday schedule. In the February sweeps, ABC again fell to fourth place. It was especially painful that CSI, the CBS hit rejected by Disney, was the nation's number one show, and a spin-off, CSI Miami, was also in the top 10. On April 3rd, Gold wrote to George Mitchell, copying Eisner and all the directors. "I am enclosing a recent article from USA Today describing the failure of our television season this year. We received approximately 50 emails last fall touting our progress and success in primetime television. When that success turned hollow, i.e., this year's rating average for primetime will be less than last year's, which was a disaster, we get no information, no explanation, no ownership of the problem. We just switch to a new subject. There are a number of people on this board who said to me that if Michael and Bob Iger can't turn the 2003 primetime season around, they would have to go. The jury is in on this one. We are worse off than we were last year, and this board refuses to discuss this issue. I fear that our inability to discuss difficult problems and make hard decisions is an abdication of our fiduciary duty. The shareholders of the Disney Company have lost $50 billion in the last 3 years. Our board's unwillingness to deal with the substantial issues of this business borders on the incompetent." It fell to Iger to compose a reply to Gold's letter, in which he maintained that ABC primetime was 8% ahead of the previous year in the critically important 18 to 49 age group, and that, excluding the Super Bowl,